Open the sluice gates.
Oh, great. What a way to start episode 95 of East Meets West. I'm Tom Merritt.
It's opening the sluice gates, and I'm Roger Chang.
We're talking about dementia.
We got into an argument about whether or not Tom's Paymasters acquisition and not so much integration, but housing of their new property downstairs. I was trying to find a justification.
What Roger's trying to say is he called CNET schizophrenic, and I said, I don't think you mean schizophrenic. I think you mean multiple personality disorder.
But I don't think
it's... schizophrenia, I was saying, would be hallucinations, and I don't think he's trying to say CNET is metaphorically hallucinating anything.
According to Wikipedia, and, you know, of course, this is take it with a grain of salt. A person experiencing schizophrenia may demonstrate symptoms such as disorganized thinking. They actually have a link to disorganized thinking in Wikipedia.
Now, dementia was another thing that came up in the conversation.
Yes.
And I said, well, I don't think dementia is an actual disease. I think it's just a description of symptoms. And we're basically finding out dementia is sort of a classification. It's got its own symptoms, but it's the progressive decline in cognitive functions due to damage or disease in the brain. So you were comparing it to diarrhea.
Yes, because diarrhea is not an actual illness, but rather...
the result of illness.
Exactly.
Yeah. What do you call that?
Sluice gates?
No, not sluice gates. What do you call diarrhea? I mean, those are symptoms, but...
you can get dysentery,
food
poisoning.
There are also symptoms of... I guess they're just symptomatic.
Actually, the problem with diarrhea, of course, is a water dehydration.
Dementia is rising, too. And now they call it is a disease, which is strongly associated with age. And now they're calling it disease.
So what do you want me to say, Tom?
I don't think the medical community knows what they're talking about.
I could have told you that. Going to three dentists.
You don't think anybody knows what they're talking
about. No, I don't. I firmly believe that most people are very skilled in one section and completely ignorant in everything else.
You don't believe in global warming either, do you?
No, I believe in global warming. However, I believe it's cyclical.
You think this is just a natural curve we're on?
I could very well be.
I think you're wrong.
Okay.
I've been reading up on this a bunch, and I think that the climate change is 90% probability caused by human interaction. There is definitely a lot more carbon dioxide than there's ever been in the atmosphere before. And like with any other kind
it's been,
of science.
There's been more carbon dioxide in the air before at this point. Before human existence.
Before there was an atmosphere.
Before there
I'm
were.
I'm talking about during the human occupation.
All right. I just say
you
it.
You can just say anything you want. There used to be just lava, too.
Was there not? Am I wrong?
Does that help the discussion? That's the kind of like right-wing talk show, whatever. Left-wing talk show, crazy talk show talk when you're like, actually, there was a lot more carbon dioxide.
So in the future, everything has to go through Tom in order to be approved for discussion.
No, do you want to have a rational debate or not?
So you get to set the rules and decide that is or is not.
Do you think it's rational to bring up volcano time when we're talking about human induced
climate
change?
Mount Pinatubo, when that went up, that spewed how many tons of carbon in the air
From what I have read, and granted I'm not a climatologist, there is more carbon dioxide in the air than there has ever been in the human timescale.
Of which is how long?
Which, you know, goes back whatever 50,000 years that we've been on this planet.
Let us look at human life.
What are you looking for now?
I'm just seeing how long people were on Earth.
It's like, what, 50,000 years?
Would you mind? I'm trying to Wikipedia it.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you with a discussion.
Look, they put that little human pioneer plaque. Let me see. Chordates, primates, evolution.
But really, all of this is just...
Anatomically, modern humans appeared in the fossil record in Africa about 130,000
years. 130,000. Is that Homo erectus or is that Australopithecus?
It just says anatomically modern humans.
That's a homo. That's not Homo erectus.
Hey, watch your language there, my friend.
No, I'm just saying. It's
a joke.
It's like, you know.
Man, you can't take jokes either. What's wrong with me? Jesus Christ. It's like talking to a newspaper salesman.
It's like, what?
You're going to buy a paper or not?
Newspaper salesman quite often, do you, Roger?
I pass one when I go to BART.
Rhetorical gambits today.
So
you're not engaging in any kind of discussion. You're using rhetorical roadblocks.
Fine, let's pick a subject we can get into.
No, I just think it's interesting. No, you know, you're not always like this.
I'm giddy.
Like,
what do you want?
You're just throwing up. What happened? Tell us.
Nothing.
Why are you giddy?
I'm not giddy.
What made you? Well, you said just.
Oh no, I am giddy, but why? No, because Annalise is leaving.
Oh, you know, no. She doesn't listen to this podcast,
though. I know very few people do.
Is she your boss?
Not anymore.
But she was, right?
Maybe. She didn't sign any.
Did
my
you
checks.
Report to her?
I guess she was my reporter, reportee. Or I was a reportee to her.
Well, nobody reports to the person who signs their checks anymore. I mean, except maybe like your top CFO, you know. Well, the CFO usually signs the checks, so the CFO's direct report's the only people
that
sign.
I wonder if the CFO could fire you. He just sees you one day, hey, you're screwing around.
I sign your checks, so I'm going to fire you?
Yeah, why not?
It's an interesting thought. I'm sure it could.
In California, it'd be a lot more difficult.
You'd have to have cause.
Yes.
In California.
But
in
you
many
need
repeat.
But you need a paper trail of sorts to kind of, you know, to show that it's an ongoing thing and not just like the guy had, you know, dysentery or something and had diarrhea.
Dementia.
Dysentery, dementia.
Ugh. Gross. Hey, I've been enjoying playing around with watching movies on television this weekend.
That's good.
We ordered one.
Did you enjoy playing BioShock that I loaned you a month and a half ago?
I have been enjoying that too, but not as much as watching the movies this weekend.
The movies?
We signed on to one of the movie packs for DirecTV.
But are those on demand?
No, it's just the six channels of HBO or whatever.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I have been without those for a while. I've been using Netflix, and I find it strangely gratifying not to have to choose, or at least to have a limited choice.
Lemming.
Right? You just look at the screen, and you've got like
the tyranny
movies.
Of choice.
Well, for instance.
Well, that's true.
Yesterday I watched Galaxy Quest. I would never have put that in my queue. Because I've seen it before, and I've been like, eh. But it came up on the screen as I was flipping around, and I was like, oh, this is interesting.
I get Netflix. I have, you know, 800-plus movies floating around various discs. The thing is, actually, not 800, maybe 300. Discs floating around. Then I have box sets for TV shows. I don't know if those count, but they all add up to 800. Any case, I have a bunch of movies that I see on TNT, and even though I already have the DVD, I'll sit and watch it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't understand.
I think it's the difference between having to choose. You have a different mindset. There's more at stake. You don't want to choose the wrong thing. So you tend not to want to choose something you've already seen, or at least, you know, something you've seen recently.
So when it comes to TV programming or video programming
in
general?
When you're just flipping around, you don't have that burden of like, I invested myself in choosing this. It's more like, oh, I just countered across it. And it grabs you. And you're like, you're seeing it too. It's a difference between seeing it and reading about it in a paragraph.
So it's a difference between actually having to think for yourself and have someone think for you.
I don't know. I don't think that's a fair characterization.
Why not?
Because you're still doing the thinking.
Are
it's
you?
The choice that's the difference. Uh-huh. It's the active, like, I am putting something.
So there's someone chooses for you.
No. Because you still can choose not to watch the thing on television, right? It's just you don't have
why
to.
Why are there so many exceptions to your thing here?
This is simple sociology, right? It's the investment of, like, if I choose out of everything that's in the Netflix catalog, it's an investment. I'm making, okay, I've got a lot at stake.
That's why they put their top movie picks in the front.
When I'm flipping through the television and I come across something, I have a very simple choice. I can move on or I can keep watching it. I'm still thinking about it, but you have a different gut reaction, don't you think?
No, not for me.
You don't think you have a... You just said you end up watching things on
I
TNT.
I do, but...
It's the same thing.
I didn't finish. I don't watch the whole thing. I flip off after like 10 or 15 minutes. I don't necessarily sit... And that's the thing, is I prefer being able to...
Well, is that because of commercials, though, on TNT?
That's true.
I mean, that's one thing with movie channels.
But actually, no, that's not true, because I get like...
Because I will find that.
I get this movie flicks thing, like that's part of the upper digital tier. On this expanded basic cable. And it's like movies I've already watched before, but if it gets in like a non-action sequence, I just boom.
Yeah, flip through it.
I flip through it.
See, I do that through the action sequences because I find those boring. I want to get back to the story.
Okay. You're different.
Man.
You're so much more highbrow.
If you said that, not me. I
whatever.
Made no implication about
it. Whatever. No, you just insinuated it.
I had no, I didn't. Uh-huh.
People can't see your body language.
I'm sitting here with arms in front of me.
With
that's
the thumb
in
the first finger and an L on the forehead there. I can see it.
Man, you're in a mood today. Look at you. You can't stay on one subject. Did you take your Ritalin?
You know, Ritalin's kind of funny because it actually amps you up.
Yeah, but how does Ritalin work? I read about this one time. It has an effect of amping you up, but in somebody who needs it, it actually blocks certain transmitters, and that's why it causes you to be able to focus.
I don't know. I'm wondering what would happen, and I've always wondered this, because I often feel that medical science maybe in some cases has progressed too far, and I don't want to be rude or crude, but there's certain individuals I come across, you know, maybe not on a daily basis, but on a frequent basis, I'm wondering, you know, if these people had lived, 100 or even, 50 years ago, would they still be alive today because, certain actions or things that they do with their
lifestyle? I think of that a lot with allergies, actually.
I mean, you
look at people with really bad allergies.
Food allergies.
And you're like, these in 2,000 years ago, these people would not have lived.
I mean, I wouldn't have lived. I have a really bad, myopia. So I'm thinking, if I was living during the Clan of the Cave Bear, I would have been eaten by a cave bear or saber-toothed cat or perhaps crushed under the...
You might not have made it out of childhood, though. You might not have even got
because I didn't need glasses till third grade.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the glasses. I'm talking about the allergies.
Yeah, but I don't have any food allergies.
Well, okay, well, it's all about you, but people in general, have allergies.
That's
true. And an infection could be a result of a bad allergy, complication, dead.
Maybe. I know. I agree. I think certain things. I also think that certain certain emotional responses, or rather not emotional, but responses to certain things, may have ended the lives of certain people a little, quicker than they normally would, thanks to the advances of medical technology. Can you imagine base jumping before there were, adequate safeguards and safety gear? I mean, people still screw that up.
So Ritalin works by increasing the amount of dopamine in the brain. It's a dopamine reuptake inhibitor. So there's more dopamine in the brain.
But you just said it was an inhibitor.
Dopamine reuptake inhibitor.
Oh.
So it stops the dopamine from being taken back up into the synapse, which means it's out, can be active and bind more often, right? So it increases the amount of dopamine, causing people with ADHD to be able to focus.
How?
Because apparently, and this is what they don't understand, is if they have a lack of dopamine, it causes them to lose focus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a stimulant because extra dopamine means extra stimulation.
So I'm wondering, before all these, you got to wonder. I mean, even 50 years ago, a lot of the illnesses that we classify, categorize today, were they as abundant or were they not diagnosed as such? Or did people just suffer through them?
I think some of them are evolving, so to speak. In other words, people who would have carried the genes that caused them probably died earlier and didn't reproduce as often.
Not to be mean about it.
I think that's part of it. I also think that some of them are socially aggravated. So that,
like herpes?
In a very simple village community, someone with ADHD finds a niche and is fine, and nobody thinks,
give it to man who does many things.
Yeah, or whatever. they do what they do, and they're fine. Everybody looks out for them, and it's not an issue. Whereas in today's society, where everybody has to be more self-reliant, and there is more to distract you.
It's interesting. I'm wondering if they did a study, a medical, physical, as well as mental study of, say, the Amazonian, basin tribes. The natives there, and then, correspond that with a modern day, urban, urban individual group of individuals, and to see, if there's certain things that may aggravate that. I mean,
one problem with that study, though, is you've got a very narrow gene pool that you're looking at in those basin tribes, which may not have.
That's what I'm wondering. Maybe not just limited to them, but you did it to different populations around the world, get a good sampling to see if there were, for example, maybe the Amish. I mean, Amish, genetically, they also have that same issue.
Yeah, not as bad, though. I think you're right.
They do because there are certain illnesses.
Amish come from a more genetically diverse background. Some of those Amazon tribes have been in a very limited gene pool for centuries and centuries. Where the Amish do come out of Europe, so.
Yeah, but they also came out of a particular. I mean, they
I think it's not as bad with them. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, but I mean, you know, if you're talking about
they've only been isolated for 100 years versus thousands.
That's true. Oh, I'm not saying it's, but at the same time, I'd like, you know, any case, it would be interesting to see if there was any kind of correlation to the lifestyle we lead today. You know,
I absolutely think you would find some really fascinating stuff that is caused by the environment.
I mean,
and when I say the environment, I don't mean like nature. I'm talking about just the living environment.
I'm wondering if it goes back, you know, if we go back to the whole choices thing. For example, like even what it's 2007, right? I love saying 20. It's just like 2010. 2007.
Very pretentious of you.
Yes, it is. And I'm very fond of it. So up yours.
Very defensive.
I'm very punchy. But even like 50 years ago, say back in the late, you know, the early 60s, would you have had the ability to do all the things that we do today in terms of travel choices and selecting, you know,
pace? I think pace is the biggest difference in the past 50 years is the pace at which we do things. We pack so many things in to as much time, you know, we pack as many things into the amount of time we have as possible. And I'm not just talking about work. I mean, work is one thing. They're always pushing for more and more productivity at our workplace. But also our leisure time is more packed. They're pushing for it, Roger.
Yes.
I didn't say they'd get it out of a lazy ass like you.
Oh, yeah. Backhanded. See, mine was backhanded. Yours was like direct. But it's fine.
See, I prefer direct.
I noticed.
It's a little passive aggressive.
Oh, okay.
but anyway, so they put. But I think in our leisure time, people aren't just going home and reading a book, or you know, sitting by the fireplace telling tales. They're chopping up their leisure time. The shopping involves actually more inconvenience than it used to when you lived in a community where you walked from work past the market on your way home. Now it's like you have to drive, right? Everybody commutes. So you have to drive hundreds of miles.
Mass transit on me. So. Oh,
well, but I'm just talking about the majority of people. The majority of people commute, don't they?
And the
majority of people drive.
Most people drive.
Yeah. So those people are spending more time getting to work than they used to.
See, you know,
and they have to go out of their way to get to a supermarket where they have to fight through people.
Which is interesting because this actually goes back to something I always wondered during urban sociology is that as people, the one reason why we have suburbs is because people wanted housing, you know, affordable housing. And
wanted a big house. Yeah.
They wanted a big house. They wanted, you know, the nice backyard, front yard, whatever. But to get that, they had to move out of where they worked slowly. So you basically had these kind of concentric rings like on a you know bullseye target.
Right.
And at some point, I mean, there's people complain about, you know, cost of living and stuff. But if you lived closer to where you worked, you factored out the cost of fuel, the cost of owning two cars, say if both parents, you know, you live in a standard, you know, four-person household, driving back and forth. Would it be better?
I've heard people actually do this calculation, and where it usually ends up is they wouldn't have got as much for their money if they would have stayed in the city center, even with considering the fuel and everything. Now, most people don't factor in their time. They're just talking about the car and the fuel and all that.
I think you should factor in time.
But they don't factor in the hours spent commuting. But most people say, well, yeah, I spend X amount on fuel, but it's really only a couple thousand a year. And for that extra couple thousand, I actually get a 5-bedroom house with a huge backyard where I would have to pay the equivalent amount in the city and I would only get a 1-bedroom condo.
I mean, are they also factoring, you know, things like social activities? Are they also factoring?
Oh, no, of course not.
But see, that's the thing. For me, it's a very
but they
skewed.
They have social activities. They have more social activities for children out in the suburbs usually than in the cities.
It depends.
Yeah, it's arguable.
It's arguable because even those, a lot of those social activities are things that you still have to expend additional money and resources for.
Right, which wash out though,
because
you get the same thing in the city.
I honestly think that you know if people because essentially what you have is what you used to have are bedroom communities, you know, for a large metropolitan. Now those are getting filled up, and the progress. I mean, essentially, look at Southern California, Burbank, L.A. All those towns used to be some distance away from each other.
Oh yeah, look at the Bay Area. We've got Brentwood. is out there, which is like, I don't know, it's 70 miles away.
Yeah, it's close. It's like an hour or something.
It's now a commuter community for San Francisco.
Well, Modesto, I mean, that's an hour and a half. Yeah. I was coming back. It takes you 2 hours. It used to take me an hour and a half. Another half an hour.
And don't even get started on places like Chicago and New York, which are very much like Los Angeles.
Which to me is like, it's, I think there's, at some point, I think it's, I think there are diminishing returns. You just cannot stretch. Because I think of all the time, what would you think would be the average commute one way for someone who lives out in the suburbs to their job in a metropolitan area?
I don't know. I'd say 30, 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
Okay.
So, and that's a good run.
Although that was my commute from San Francisco to San Francisco when I actually lived in the city.
All right. So
but that's a whole different matter.
So, okay, 45 minutes. You got 45 minutes going one way. You got both ways. And then you have, say, a spouse of another 40, and say your hour, you know, your times don't agree. I think there's just basically disjointment of schedules and times that I think maybe if people were less ambitious on their housing, like if they didn't especially need a very large home, I'm not saying that you have to live in a tenement.
No.
But at the same time, that or find a occupation that is a lot more flexible or something that's closer to where you live. I know a lot of people who moved out into the what we used to call the boonies, but they call the foothills. And essentially they selected work that they could do
out there
because they enjoy
smarter.
For them, and that's the thing, is it kind of defines how you want to live your do you want to define your lifestyle by like your occupation title? Or by kind of just, you know, the activities you do. I don't have a BART card.
Let's get to some comments from the last episode at subbrilliant.com/EMW.
What's that website?
Subbrilliant.com/EMW. Pinoy Boy says, get the MacBook, Tom. It's infinitely easier to upgrade. The hard disk on it. Since the x86 leap, we haven't seen a big difference between the MacBook and MacBook Pros. Unless Apple splits the productivity by giving the Core 2 Duo to the MacBook and the Core 2 Quad to the MacBook Pro, there is really no compelling reason to spend the extra $2,000 aside from the 17-inch screen, card bus slot, and a less rough and ready, albeit anodized, aluminum case.
Yes. The thing is that both the MacBook and the MacBook Pro are both based off the Santa Rosa chips. How come I can't type today?
SoCal Jess says, Tom and Roger, your old husband and wife banter never gets old. If Roger's an agnostic, what's Tom's religious or spiritual background? I'm a recovering Catholic. Love Roger's Doctor Who ringtone. And any big plans for episode 100?
Huh, we should.
That's true. We're getting up there pretty close. We should have we should have guests. We haven't had guests on in a while.
Religious or spiritual?
Maybe we should try to get the gala event.
Gala?
Yeah.
Who's gala?
Just a big event,
I
Roger.
I know, it's a joke.
Oh, it's a funny joke.
Whatever. God, you're so white bread, it's not even fun to
play
joke.
A race
if
card.
You...
Good, when you have nothing else left. Cool B's crazy comments, number one.
You're right,
one.
I will use it.
Glad you and Eileen are feeling better. About 99% of the time, my laptop stays
aggressive.
Put. But to me, that 1% makes it worth having. Red meat may be bad in excess, but personally, it's blue-green meat I watch out for. Good choice.
What about blue-green cheese?
I like
the French
cells
seem to sell a lot of those.
We had some. It wasn't blue cheese, but it was a blue green cheese we had at Thanksgiving. It was delicious.
You know,
it was
it's kind of weird.
Cheese.
The stinkier the cheese, I actually like. It's weird because that pungent taste, for some reason, is a lot more
sharp cheddar. Yeah,
I don't like sharp cheddar. Something about
cheddar.
It has to be melted into nacho cheese.
He also says, number four, finally finished Boiling Point. I enjoyed it. I especially liked how the different character stories were woven together as the story progressed. Well that's one more book you've read than Roger Chang.
Oh. Passive aggressive, too.
Want to throw my 2 cents in about the MacBook. Tim says, screen. The MacBooks only come glossy, and for me, that was a deal breaker. I hate glossy screens.
I know. That kind of sucks because they did that. Although I've noticed with my screen, if you use it more, it kind of gets a little less glossy.
I don't know if that's the way it's supposed to happen, but happy accident. Number two, RAM. If you get a Mac notebook and you want more RAM, it's best to get it from somebody other than Apple. In my case, I needed 2 gigs of RAM. So in the MacBook, it comes with 1 gig, but it is 2 512 sticks. So to upgrade, you pretty much have to throw those away. Whereas when I bought my MacBook Pro, it came with 1 1 gig stick. So I just had to throw in the second stick. So in short, if you want 2 gigs of RAM, factor that in when you consider
that's
the MacBook.
That's true. I mean, the reason why they do that is because it's both use DDR, but they use it because the way the system is set up. And because the video memory is integrated, so yeah, ideally you'd want that. However, you can actually cram 3 gigs of RAM into the MacBook. But you need a 2-gig module and a 1-gig. If you want any advice to where to pick that up, you can either go to Newegg, newegg.com, or maxsales.com at owmaxsales.com. They're based out of Illinois.
Cole and James both want to stroke your ego and tell you you're right about the Mac discussion.
Stroke away. I'm so happy.
James says, Journeyman, I tried watching it for the first time this week, but I only thought it was so-so. It doesn't help that my wife and I have been watching a lot of Quantum Leap lately, but frankly, I just don't like
Kevin McKidd as much as
Scott Bakula. I'm sure it's no problem for people who aren't watching an early 90s time-traveling show, but Journeyman just seems derivative to me. I totally agree with James that it is derivative of Quantum Leap, but I still like it.
I couldn't get into it. I got into Quantum Leap, and I think that has something to do with the almost absurd nature of it that makes it just a lot more interesting.
Cheesier. Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Journeyman is kind of a combination of a serious drama.
Which, I mean, it can
like
work.
Crime show kind of aesthetic.
It works better with a BSG, Meilu, because I think just not having the characters ham it up, but you already understand the fact that they're in space, and I don't know. I think it just works better.
Tim says, I got the MacBook first and then ended up getting the MacBook Pro a few months later. Needed the bigger screen and the GPU for a while. I use it strictly for WoW, and my wife uses it for CS3. Just wish the MacBook came with a dedicated GPU. As for the current gen, International, Mondeo, and Focus, totally different beasts than our U.S. junkers.
Well, I don't think they sell the Mondeo anymore, and he was right because...
James says Mondeo was brought to the U.S. as the Ford Contour.
And the Mercury Mystique, as some people call the Mercury Mystique. And the Focus is still around. Unfortunately, they no longer have a wagon version, which is the only one I was partial to. They have a hatchback, both in coupe and four-door varieties.
Kelly says, Tom, next time Roger gets out of hand, cut his mic and put it where the sun don't shine. That's not nice.
Yes.
He says, Tom, your wife is from the Philippines. No, she's actually from Ontario, California, but her parents are from the Philippines. I gave the gift of music this year. We usually play a board game or cards. This year I suggested we listen to a song sample and buy some music. It did get boring after a while, but everyone was happy with their 17 songs burned on their own CD. Interesting idea.
Yep.
Let's see. And Punter Joe says, I always considered the holiday season in the U.S. to be like the barbecue season, a chunk of the calendar beginning with Thanksgiving and ending in early January, during which one threw moderation to the wind, hopping from holiday parties filled with evil treats like eggnog and each host's traditional recipes.
You like eggnog?
Usually involving something smoked, spiced, or pickled. I do like eggnog. It's an orgy of indulgences, kind of an anti-Lent. By the time the new year rolls around, one craves a bit of self-discipline and asceticism. Even hedonism has its limits. What are your holiday traditions?
Well, I don't really eat as much. I just eat normally. It's just the foods are different.
We had a lot of holiday traditions when I'm growing up. I don't really keep many of them anymore.
No, because they're not traditions to you.
Well, they stopped being when I wasn't around the people who, you know, wanted
exactly.
to do them.
So
we used to put up a tree in our house. We didn't do that last year. My wife seems less than enthusiastic about it this year.
It's just because it takes time.
Maybe put up some decorations, maybe not. We will probably get together with my wife's family either on Christmas or Christmas Eve.
But I just go home. That's basically it.
Go back to Fresno?
Yes. Fresno.
That valley town.
Bakersfield.
It's one of those single A baseball towns. It's associated with one of the Bay Area teams. I can't keep them straight. Finally, Joshua says, love the podcast. I'm a recent convert to the Mac. I'm wondering, Roger said that no one could replace a MacBook hard drive. Roger said that one could replace. When I bought my MacBook Pro recently, I was upset to see the lack of choices on space. How can I replace the hard drive? Can you point me to a site with a how-to?
MacSales.com. You buy the drive there. They actually have instructional videos that are free to download.
It's really not that hard. You unscrew it, don't you?
You have to take the keyboard off and a bunch of other
stuff. Yeah, okay. Pop the keyboard.
There's a lot. On the MacBook, it's really easy. You take out the battery, undo two screws.
They just bury it a little more in the MacBook Pro?
Well, it's essentially disassembling your MacBook Pro to get to it.
That's significant, then.
It is.
All right, folks, thanks for listening. Be sure to leave your comments at subbrilliant.com/EMW, and we'll talk to you next week.
Passive aggressive. Bye.
Passive aggressive.